Love to see the church growing, and in a little bit we got another surprise for you. The church has grown in another little way here this morning. We've got some guests with us this morning that are very much looking forward to the introduction of that little one. Well, I want to begin this morning by saying I'm thankful for currency, and not just that I've got some of it, but that I've got some of it to give to the Lord. I'm thankful I don't have to haul my offerings in here on a basket on top of my head or lug heavy offerings in here on my shoulders to give to the Lord. You know, that's how the early children of Israel had to give their first offerings to the Lord. They had just been miraculously delivered from 400 years of slavery in Egypt, and they hadn't had time to mint coin yet. So when Moses said to all the congregation, the people of Israel, that this is the thing that the Lord has commanded, take from among you a contribution to the Lord, they had no coinage in which to give. But whoever is of a generous heart, Moses still said, let him bring the Lord's contribution. And then, as you heard the young lady read this morning, there were all kinds of things that were needed for the Lord's tabernacle. They needed gold, they needed silver, bronze, blue, purple, scarlet yarn, fine twined linen, goat's hair. Now, who keeps goat's hair in their pockets? Tanned ram skins, acacia wood, oil, spices, incense, onyx, and other stones. These were the things that the Lord needed for the building of his tabernacle. And all the congregation of the people of Israel, they departed on a scavenger hunt. These are the things the Lord needed. Let's go get them. And they departed from the presence of Moses, and then they returned. They came. Everyone whose heart had stirred him, we'll come back to that. Everyone whose spirit had moved him, and they brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting, what our old translations used to call the tabernacle, for its service and for the holy garments that the priests would wear in service. And it must have been a sight to see an offering like that collected among God's people. All that stuff being brought in on top of their heads and on their shoulders and in their arms. Very, very unlike the offerings that we give. My first offerings that I gave were coins. How many of you were like me that when you were very, very young, you were taught to give an offering to the Lord, and my very first offerings were coins that I gave to the Lord. And then as I grew older, I began giving dollar bills. And for the last 40 years or more, I've been writing checks, a different way of giving offering. Now I'm experimenting with giving online. How many have tried that? Giving online or giving by text, giving on a computer. It's kind of a new thing for me, but to be honest, it seems to be working. Sometimes my right hand doesn't know what my left hand is doing, but the Lord says that's the way you're supposed to give. So, you know, I sit down at the computer and I make out my offering, or I sit on my cell phone and I make out my offering. I really haven't run into any problems other than I don't know what to do when the offering basket's passed and it's handed. You know, I don't know what to do. Yeah, I gave it to office. You know, I don't know what to say about that yet. I'm still working on that. But I got to tell you, all these different ways of giving that the Lord has provided for my life sure beats bringing my offering in on a basket on top of my head. Amen? It beats having to roll up loads and carry them on my shoulders or stack them in bundles and boxes and pour them in flasks and bring them in to the Lord's offering. Now, I have seen offerings brought in like that in my lifetime. I've seen offerings given in church like that in Haiti by people who had very little or no money at all, but they still wanted to give something, so they brought what they had largely on their heads in baskets. Sometimes they would be rolled up in blankets or what they could carry in their arms to church. It was often rice or beans or banana or heads of cabbage. It's not the typical Sunday morning offering that we see around here, but they were genuine offerings still by people who wanted to give. It was given by truly grateful hearts who wanted to give something. They wanted to give a thanks giving. Now that's our lesson this morning. How truly grateful hearts want to give thanks and not just say thanks. Truly grateful hearts want to give thanks, not just say thanks. Now, most of us were taught to say thank you from a very young age. How many more would agree with that? You were taught, when someone gave us something, what did Mama say? What do you say? And what were we supposed to say in return? Sure, we're supposed to say thank you. That's a common courtesy. Who in the world wouldn't say thank you? At least say thank you after someone had given a gift to you. But sometimes you're so grateful for the gift that's been given that just saying thank you is not enough. But you actually want to do something to show your gratitude. You want to give thanks and not just say thanks. Now that's what the Israelites are doing this morning. They're not saying thanks. They're giving thanks to the Lord who had just delivered them from Egyptian slavery. I mean, how big of a thank you do you need to express when you've been delivered from 400 years of enslavement? You've been delivered from the pursuing Egyptian army. You've been enabled to cross the Red Sea on dry ground. You provided manna in the morning, meat from the sea. Water is brought for you to drink from the rocks. God promises to go with you, to protect you, to fight for you, and to bring you to a land that he will give you that will be flowing with milk and honey. You will live in houses that you have not built, and you will drink from vineyards that you did not plant. God will lead you by a pillar of cloud in the day and a pillar of fire by night. And God's people were so incredibly grateful for such a great gift. There was no possible way they were just going to say thank you. They actually wanted to give their thanks. And so the line began, and grateful heart after grateful heart begins carrying their thanks that they wanted to give to the Lord. And they carried it in upon their shoulders and in their hands and on their heads. The Bible says they came, both men and women, the Bible says, all who were of a willing heart. That phrase just keeps coming up in our text. They brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and armlets and all sorts of gold objects. Every man dedicating an offering of gold to the Lord. And everyone who possessed blue or purple or scarlet yarns or fine linen or goat's hair or tanned ram skins or goat skins, they brought them. Those things must have been a load to carry in. Everyone who could make a contribution of silver or bronze brought it as the Lord's contribution. Everyone who possessed, acacia wood or wood of any use in the work of building the Lord's tabernacle, they brought that wood in. That's a lumber mill job, you know. We deliver on trucks. They had to deliver on backs. And every skillful woman spun with her hands, and they all brought what they had spun in blue and purple and scarlet yarns, fine twined linen. This would have been some offering to see. All the women whose hearts stirred them to use their skill spun the goat's hair. And the leaders brought onyx stones and stones to be set for that ephod and that breast piece that Aaron and his sons would wear as high priests of Israel. And the spices that would be used in the temple, the oil for the light, the anointing oil, all the fragrant incense, it was all brought in by those who were grateful. All the men and women, the people of Israel, whose hearts moved them to bring anything for the work of the Lord that the Lord had commanded by Moses to be done, brought it as a free will offering. A free will. This is not a tithe. This is not a requirement. This is if you want to. God's people gave not because they had to. God's people gave because they what? They wanted to. Now, if you're one that takes notes, this is when you can pull out the program that you were given at the door, because the sermon outline is on the back of the program. I just key you in on that. But that's a very important point that sometimes people charge against the church, and maybe there are some churches that abuse that, I don't know. But we don't ask anyone to give anything they don't want to. Each person should give, the New Testament says, as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves what kind of a giver? A cheerful giver. We don't ask anyone to give anything they don't want to. No, that's just what grateful hearts do. They can't content themselves with just saying thank you. They want to actually give thanks too. It's what grateful hearts do. A truly grateful heart can't content himself or herself with just saying thank you. I'm way more grateful for the gift you've given than to just say thank you. No, grateful hearts actually want to give thanks too. Now, when I try to visualize those Old Testament men and women of God who gave way back in the day, I can't help but visualize the church that Apple Pie built. And the only one that probably knows what I'm talking about is my wife, Lynn. But the church that Apple Pie built is a church down in southeast Kentucky. It's a primitive, old, regular Baptist church. How many know what that is? Primitive, old, regular, hard-shell Baptist church down in the cold fields. They're good Christian brothers and sisters of ours, but they worship quite differently than we do. And most of you would be happy to hear we don't have sermons that are an hour and a half long where the preacher knows where he's starting, but he's got no idea where he's finishing. All right. I assure you, there is a finish to this sermon. You just hang on. We will get there in just a little bit. But down there, that church is not called Hard Shell Old Regular Baptist Church. It's called the Church of Apple Pie Built. And it's because the little meeting house that they meet in, and that's all it really is a little rectangular meeting house. That little meeting house was built by grateful men and grateful women who truly wanted to give their thanks to Jesus and not just say, thank you, Jesus. So the men of that congregation, they built that little church out of boards that had been purchased by the proceeds of the apple pies that were baked by the women who were grateful in that church as well. These men and women were not content to say, thank you, Jesus. That didn't cut it with them. They wanted to give their thanks to Jesus. So the women gave their bakeries and the men gave their carpentry. It's what Eileen Taylor did on a more personal level. Eileen Taylor, you probably heard about her, don't remember her name, but she's the lady that was in a Heavenly Donuts drive-through line, and she was feeling especially grateful for the kind gesture of a stranger that paid for her coffee the day before. Eileen was out of work and out of cash, and a complete stranger the day before paid for her coffee out of his own pocket when she couldn't afford a cup of coffee. And out of gratefulness from the act of kindness the day before, Eileen decided in the drive-thru to pay for the family's donuts in the car behind her. Someone did a kindness for her the day before. She's going to do a kindness on this day. And as a result of her kindness to the car behind her, many more people who were thankful became givers themselves for the cars behind her. And her act of generosity led to this chain reaction that made news across the country of 55 drive-through customers paying for the person behind them in the drive-through line as well. It was a process that took 2.5 hours. For 2.5 hours through the Heavenly Donut drive-through, everybody was paying for the donuts of the person behind it. Wouldn't you have hated to have been the turkey who broke the chain? For 2.5 hours, 2.5 hours. You mean you're not going to pay for it? No, I'm not going to pay for there. I mean, you'd hate to have been that. 2.5 hours, people who were grateful didn't want to just say thank you. They wanted to give thanks as well. Well, that's what happened for days back in the grateful days of Israel. We know that because the Bible says the actual builders of the Lord's tabernacle, they received from Moses all these contributions that the people of Israel were bringing in for doing all this work on the sanctuary. And the people just kept bringing Moses these free will offerings, and they kept bringing him those offerings how often? What's it say? Every morning. Every morning they're bringing more and more offerings, so much so that the craftsmen who were actually doing the work, they had to come each from the task from which they were doing, which means they had to stop what they were doing. The workers had to stop what they were doing because this is just getting out of hand here. Way too much stuff is being offered up. And they had to say to Moses, the people bring much more than enough for doing the work that the Lord has commanded us to do. So Moses gave the command, and word was proclaimed throughout the camp. Let no man or woman do anything more for the contribution for the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. Man, when's the last time you heard that verse read in church? For the material they had was sufficient to do all the work and more. Now, I've never heard of such a restraining order being proclaimed before. But I've seen some generous offerings given to the Lord by some grateful hearts because of gifts they had received from the Lord. In fact, we received one of those offerings on a much smaller scale just two Sundays ago here at the church. We were asked to consider giving a special Thanksgiving offering over and above our regular offerings that would help upgrade our piano. I didn't look inside this piano. I don't know what's inside of it, but I know for a time it was an empty shell. There was nothing inside of it. Is it still that way, Blake? It's still an empty shell? But the pieces have been ordered or coming in, getting ready to be installed, and we're going to use this again. But we were asked to upgrade the electronics inside this piano we wanted to use again, and to purchase some outside lawn equipment that we needed to better take care of our grounds. And we were asked to consider giving that special offering over and above our regular offering. And we set the goal for our special Thanksgiving offering as $3,000. Blake added up the need, and Josh added up the need, and it came to about $3,000. And as of this morning, we are closing in on nearly three times that amount for our Thanksgiving offering. And so I have to thank the Lord. Thank you and thank the Lord. So I have to proclaim the restraining order, no more, no more, okay? Don't give any more offerings to the special Thanksgiving offering. I've never done this in church before, but no more, okay? We've got three times more, and I probably got some trustees back there saying, oh, don't do that. It'll be fine, folks. It'll be fine, believe me. No more Thanksgiving offerings. That offering is so generous, three times more than we asked for or expected to need. But I just say that to ask the question, how do you explain that? How do you explain that? And I'll tell you how you explain it. Truly grateful hearts. That's how you explain it. Truly grateful hearts can't content themselves with just saying thank you. Truly grateful hearts want to do something to show that they're thankful. Amen? Just what truly grateful hearts do. Truly grateful hearts bring what they can, and they give what they have. Now, that's different for different folks. That's understandable. But those who are truly grateful, they bring what they can, and they give what they have. It's what the early church did. I'm amazed when I read about the very first days of the early church. From the church's get-go, from day one, here's what the Bible says. This is day one of 3,000 souls being baptized and added to the Lord's church. Day one, here's what it says. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. That's from day one. They were giving what they had because they wanted to give and show their thankfulness. The Bible says there was not a needy person among them, for as many who were owners of lands or houses, think of that, they sold them, and they brought the proceeds of what was sold, and they laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. And in fact, there's actually a man who's named in those early days of the church is doing this. A man's name was Joseph, and Joseph was also called by the apostles Barnabas, and Barnabas means son of encouragement. Must have been a real encouraging man for the rest of the believers. He's a Levite, which means he's descended from those who took care of the tabernacle and those who took care of the temple. He understood the need for offerings. He was a native of Cyprus, and he sold a field that belonged to who? It belonged to him, And he brought the money, and he laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, why did he do something like that? Because that's what Barnabas had. So that's what Barnabas gave. That's just what truly grateful hearts do. They can't stop with just saying thank you. There's nothing wrong with saying thank you, but it's just not enough. They want to participate in a thanksgiving too. And sometimes that thanksgiving can be so great that it has to be throttled. And that's the surprise of the passage this morning. It has to be slowed down. It has to be stopped. How many remember dads putting governors on their kids' cars? Anybody remember that? Do we have any dad here who put a governor on your child's car? Do we have any kids here who had their dads put a governor on your car? Okay. Sometimes dads had to do that to just slow their kids down a bit. Now, my first car was a 65 Dodge Dart that had an out-of-balance front right wheel that made the whole car just shake violently whenever I got to 47 miles an hour. And that was just fine with my dad, and he never offered to have that wheel balanced. He thought 47 was a good speed. Now, when you drive behind me today and I'm still doing 47, it's just because I enjoy that speed. I'll just tell you, I was raised on it. I like it, and I'm very comfortable. But back in that day, I had a governor of sorts over the speed of my car. Now, today I'm told we have apps for that. That there are apps that notify mom and dad's cell phones when their kids start going too fast. And sometimes a child's driving has to be throttled. I don't know there's an app that actually slows the car down, but when a child gets home, there's a mom or dad that slows the child down. Well, this is what Moses did in the Old Testament. Moses didn't have to beg and plead and cajole the people into begrudgingly giving up what little they had to the Lord and leaving them with nothing and destitute. It's not even close to what the text says. Moses had to throttle their giving. Moses had to put the brakes on their thanksgiving because the people's desire to express their gratefulness exceeded the current need. And that's what can happen. That's what did happen in that occasion, and that's what seems to be happening again around here when truly grateful hearts give. And our challenge this morning is to join them. If you haven't already, join them. Join the truly grateful who really want to give thanks and not just say thanks. Amen? Now, we have so much to be grateful for around here, but nothing more so than for the Lord Jesus who died upon the cross for our sins. And that's why we meet around the Lord's table each Sunday here at the church. To remember his death, yes. To proclaim even his death until he comes again, the Bible says, yes. But it's also, we meet around this table to say thanks. In fact, one of the Greek words for this table is the table of Eucharistia. Eucharistia. Often in highfalutin churches called the Eucharist. The table of thanksgiving. We meet to thank Jesus for the greatest gift. Let's thank the Lord around his table this morning. Lord, we have so much for which we could say thank you. But now we say thank you, thank you, thank you for Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. God's people say, amen.